Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda ki jai. Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem Sukho Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar. Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhaktavinda ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyam Kunaradha Kunigiri Govardhan ki jai. Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Deep Dham ki jai, Jagannath Puri ki jai, Ganga Mayi ki jai, Jamuna Mayi ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Go Premanande. Thank you all very much for being here. We'd like to start with a cell phone check. And cell phones can be silent or off. Bhagavad Gita as it is. First chapter, text 42. Doshaire tai kulaknanam varna sankara karakaihi. Utsadyam te jati dharma, kula dharmas tashashvataha. By the evil deeds of those who destroy the family tradition, South Africa has elephants also. By the evil deeds of those who destroy the family tradition and thus give rise to unwanted children, all kinds of community projects and family welfare activities are devastated. Report. Community projects for the four orders of human society, combined with family welfare activities, as they are set forth by the institution of Sanatana Dharma or Varnashram Dharma, are designed to enable the human being to attain his ultimate salvation. Therefore, the breaking of the Sanatana Dharma tradition by irresponsible leaders of society brings about chaos in that society. And consequently, people forget the aim of life, mission. Such leaders are called blind, and persons who follow such leaders are sure to be led into chaos. Om Gantimidam Nasya Kananjana Shakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tathati Shavadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavascha Shri Rupam Shabrajatam Sahagana Bhagavatam Stam Sahivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitam Adevam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shagana Lalita Sri Vishakantitam Sri
Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Kantar Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Prasthute Tapta Kalshana Gopati Radhe Dhanadishadi Prashadhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Puri Priye Vacha Kotatarubhyascha Kripasanthyayeva Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabodhityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vaishnavai Gopinathvarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare
Doshaya Gitane Guru Dhanam Parmasamkara Prabhupada Utsadyante Jati Karma Kula Dharma Shashvata. Arjuna is continuing to argue why he shouldn't play. He's said that the elders will be killed, then adharma, irreligion, will flourish, the women will be led into adultery, there will be unwanted children, and then the whole society will be disrupted. Utsajyante jati dharma kula dharma shashvata. The progressive society rests on the principles of varnashrama. Varnashrama charavata purushena parapuma Vishnuva rajate bhakta nanya tattoshakara. Society is meant to have a purpose. The modern society, what is its purpose? What is the goal of our modern civilization? Kalopa bhoga parama etavidati nischita. If you ask the modern civilized men, what is the goal of life? Perhaps they'll say, in different modes of expression, to satisfy our needs, to satisfy our desires, to be all that we can be, to realize our full potential. It comes down to gratifying our senses. Kamopapogaparam. To satisfy our senses is the goal of our life. And collectively, that's the goal of our civilization. We may say that our goal is to have equality for everyone, equal opportunity for everyone. Equal opportunity for what? Everyone should have an equal shot at sense gratification. That's progressive society. A backward society is one in which some people can have sense gratification, other people can't. So a truly democratic society is one in which everyone has a chance for sense gratification. Otherwise, what goal can we say? Prosperity, they can say that. But what is that prosperity? It means simply making money for sense gratification. So, Nate Vidu Swarta Katya Vishnu. They don't know that the goal of life is to reestablish, reawaken our relationship with Vishnu, God. Durashaya Yetubahirata. They're simply hoping for happiness in this material world, for peace, for happiness. In a world where peace and happiness are not possible. The world is so constructed, the world is so made, that there's no possibility of actually being happy here, living happily. We can stay for some time, and we can have mixed happiness and distress. Happiness is not possible. Mixed happiness and distress we can have. What is mixed happiness and distress? It's distress. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that you have some nice kheer, sweet rice. You have first class milk, first class sugar, maybe a little first class ghee. And you add, say, a teaspoon of sand. Mix it nicely. How do you like it? It still has all the nice milk, all the nice sugar, a little touch of ghee. But no one will say, yes, that's very good. That little bit of sand, even half a teaspoon, while you're gritting your teeth, spoils the whole thing. Someone says, well, you know, my philosophy is to take the good with the bad. Have some nice sweet rice. And even if someone says, well, whatever you say about this material world with your pessimistic negativity, I'm happy. That's all right, but you can't stay. As happy as you are in your nice house and your nice town and your nice family and your nice everything, it can't last. You'll be kicked out by the boo of time. Dukkhale shashvatam. Therefore Krishna says, Mahavapekya punarjanma dukkhale shashvatam. Natnivanti mahatmanaha samasiddhim paramahamagata. The actually broad-minded souls don't make plans to stay here and be happy. They go back to Godhead. They don't stay in this material world, which is full of troubles, and where finally it's all temporary and we have to leave everything behind. If it's nice, we want to stay. If it's not nice, we shouldn't want to stay. And if it's nice, we want to stay, but we can't stay. First thing you want to do if you buy a new house and you say you get an apartment, you want to make sure you can stay. You check the lease and make sure your landlord can throw you out. Because once you find someplace nice, you want to stay there. Even if we think this material world is nice, we can't stay. Material world we can stay, but not in this life. Durashaya, Bahirartha, those who are simply concerned with external material things are hoping for something that they're not going to be able to achieve. And they've forgotten that the real goal of life, the real source of happiness, is Krishna. It's there in our relationship with God. Everyone, every one of us has that relationship. Dormant. Now we've forgotten that relationship. So to reawaken that relationship is the actual goal of an advanced civilization. To act in that relationship and finally to achieve love.
love for God. That's the real business of humanity.
So the Varnashram system organizes human society in such a way that everyone has suitable duties to perform. In the modern civilization, even the concept of duty is duty. It's like out of style or something left over from the Middle Ages. Duty? Man, what you talking about? Duty. You mean like customs duty? I mean, duty? What is duty? This has like become a foreign concept. What matters is not this duty thing. It's what's going to make me happy, right? Duty. It's just a word. It doesn't mean anything. Duty. My duty is to do what's going to make me happy. That's all. People invent their own sense, their own idea of what duty is. My duty? What's my duty? Well, my duty is to be the best, to do the best I can do. You know what I mean? My duty is to be the best person I can. You know what I mean? My duty is, well, you know, I guess I kind of find that out as I go along, you know what I mean? My duty is, what's duty? I mean, what, duty? I mean, what duty? It's like a foreign concept. In the modern world, the idea of duty is, does it fit? Where does it go? Where do I put it? Rather, it's just by impulse, by what's happening, by going with the flow, by finding out as I go along, by creating my own reality. And there's no sense. It's just everyone makes up his duty. Try it. Go to a school. Go to a college class in one of the better colleges. And put it out there. What is your duty in life? See, throw it out there in the PhD course and see what you get back. An unintelligible question in the modern world. But human life means the life in which there is duty. The life in which every one of us has a purpose that we're meant to perform, an action that we're supposed to perform. Of course, people have some idea. My duty is to guard the door. My duty is to check that the traffic lights are working properly. My duty. There are at least some ideas there. Duty means what I get paid for. That, there it's intelligible. My duty is what I get paid for. Now the Varnashram system organizes it. That everybody's got duties. Everybody's real business is their duty. And what is that duty? It's according to four varnas and four ashrams. The four occupational duties, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. In India now, these are deteriorated into simply caste labels. Someone is born as a Brahmin, someone is born as a Kshatriya. But that doesn't give him any particular duty to perform. Someone's a Brahmin, and Prabhupada gave the example he saw in Calcutta, someone is a Brahmin, and he's pulling a cart. And his
colleague is saying to him, hey, Panditji. But Brahma means there's some duty to perform. To be learned and to make others learned. To engage in sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord and engage others in satisfaction of the Lord. And to accept charity and distribute charity. These are duties of the Brahman. To give the spiritual vision to the society. To cultivate tolerance, simplicity, God consciousness, learning. And the Kshatriyas have to be powerful. Soryam Tejo Jyotir Daksham Rupe Chakra. They have to protect the other members of society. They have to see that everything is going on properly in the administration of the state. And the Vaishyas have the duty to see that the land is properly used. That the food is being grown, not simply this cash cropping, but grains, fruits, vegetables, protecting the cows, who give milk for human society. And the shudras have the duty to assist others. And by all these duties, everyone has to be engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord. Vitak pravrittir bhutanam yena sarvamidam ditam. Svakarmanam tamavivarsha siddhim vinditivam. It doesn't matter, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, doesn't matter what his occupation. By performing one's duties, for the satisfaction of Krishna, everyone can attain perfection. Similarly, there are social duties for the brahmacharis, the grihasthas, the vanaprasthas, sannyasis. The brahmacharis have to learn how to control the senses, how to control the mind. That's the first duty, student life. Now student life is how to cram a whole bunch of stupidity into your head and get an early start on becoming a cog in the economic wheel and just spoil your life. That's student life. And have a party and I'll pull you out of it. How to be a sophisticated cabinet talk. The students learn early how to become degraded. That's not student. Brahmachari Gurukule Vasantanta Guru. Student life means to learn how to control the senses and how to engage as a humble servant of the bona fide representative of Krishna, the spiritual master. Vasantanta Guru. Then he makes a good start for actually reaching the goal of life, Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, he just makes a start and wasting his life. Spoiling his human form of life. The trained brahmachari can become a qualified grihastha, take responsibility for spiritual progress in family life. Family life is not meant for sense gratification. Grahastha ashram. It's meant for spiritual progress. The context may be different. There's husband and wife and family. But the goal is the same, spiritual progress. And after household life, then there is retirement. The modern civilization has no idea of retirement except to go off and play golf or go fishing. Or whatever. How to waste the final years of one's life in dull and pointless time-killing engagements. Or how to spend one's last years in family bewilderment, totally engrossed in the bodily concept of life, bouncing one's grandchildren on one's knee, and thinking that I'm so lucky, I have my family, and forgetting his spiritual identity, persisting in the idea that I'm this body, this is my family, this is my this is my that, and not actually making these serious effort to revive his Krishna consciousness before death comes and cuts him off. So therefore, Shastra said, Panchashortam Panamadajini. By the age of 50, one should get out of householder life. Panamadajini. In the former days, they would go to the forest to practice tapasya, austerity, and develop serious detachment from material entanglement. Now in the modern age, going to the forest may not be much of an option. But one can go to Vrindavan. There are so many holy places where one can go. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam yasmad sudhyet pramasokyam tunantam. To purify one's existence so that one can get out of the paltry, miserable happiness of material life and get unlimited happiness in the service of Krishna. That's the duty of those who pass the age of 50. For the young men, it's study and learning of culture for becoming responsible. For the married men, there are the duties of spiritual advancement for family life, then retirement, monogamy, and finally, after one has achieved a substantial measure of detachment, then sannyas, complete detachment from family affection. And transferal of one's affection to Krishna. At the present moment, my affection is directed toward my family members, my endeavors, my work, how to take care of the family, how to keep the car okay, and how to see to repairs on the house, how to see to the education of the children, how to see about health issues, how to see about this, all in the context of temporary family attachment. Oh, in the retired stage of life, one has to free oneself from those attachments. and transfer the attachment completely to Krishna. In family life, one keeps that, one cultivates that attachment to Krishna by spiritual activities, by hearing about Krishna, by chanting Krishna, by activities to serve Krishna. Otherwise, one just gets swallowed up in family life and becomes a grihastha, an attached fool. Prabhupada says one just becomes swallowed up in the blind well of mundane family life. Therefore, those who are actually followers of real civilization cultivate spiritual activities in the context of their family life. And then, vanagatoya tanimashram, they, in the mature stage, leave home for spiritual progress. Hademashraya, to the point is not just to go to the forest. Monkeys are also living in the forest. But to take shelter of Krishna. And sannyas also doesn't mean just leaving home. But it means paratmanishta, to be fully engaged in the service of Krishna. For one's own benefit and the benefit of the people of the world. In family life, we're working for the benefit of our family members. But later in life, one is not meant to remain in that small sphere of dedication. One is meant to expand one's dedication to the welfare of others. Just as Srila Prabhupada set the example. He didn't spend his whole life working for the welfare of his family. A portion of his life, he spent that way. He saw to the family responsibilities while cultivating Krishna consciousness. But later, he left home. But this is not the whole program of life, to stay in family life till the fag end and die surrounded by one's affectionate family members. That's taken in modern society to be wonderful. If you can die at home surrounded by your affectionate family members. But in Vedic civilization, to leave home, become more attached to Krishna, and be engaged with the welfare of the larger family. There are people all over the world who are suffering for lack of Krishna consciousness. They need to be awakened. Or, from another angle, I was engaged for so long in family life, busy with my small interests. Now I've retired. So I have to give the message to those who are where I was. Those who are still simply working for their material comfort and family development, economic development, sense gratification. I was there. I've escaped. Now I have to help others move forward. And that's history. So in the progressive human civilization, everyone has his duty to perform. Everyone's duty is good. Householder's duty is good. Brahmacharya's duty is good. Vanaprastha's duty. Sannyasi's duty. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya. It's not that one duty is good, another duty is bad. Every duty is good. In the body, we need the head, we need the legs, we need all the parts of it. In the social body, we need the visionaries, spiritual visionaries. We need the executives. We need the farmers and economic development people. And we need people to assist. It's not that some section is unneeded or worthless. They're all meant to cooperate for the higher purpose of serving Krishna. Then society is purposeful. The problem is that the modern social body has no head, and therefore there's this gruesome headless body stumbling around, not knowing what it's supposed to do or what it is. But the Krishna consciousness movement is meant for giving spiritual vision to society. So there will be some direction, some purpose. Otherwise, it's just a grotesque, headless zombie. Lumbering around and causing trouble wherever it goes. The Krishna consciousness movement is crucial for the welfare of human society. There are so many welfare movements that don't actually help anyone. They may provide some temporary pacification. They give some food out, they give some clothing, they provide some medical care. But they don't solve the actual problems of life or help anyone solve the actual problems of life. They just make prison life a little more comfortable. The material world is a prison. And if someone makes the prison life a little more comfortable, then he's a great philanthropist, a great welfare worker, a great friend of human society. But according to spiritual knowledge, he's a great fool. Instead of helping people get out of prison, he's helping them stay. Stay in prison and be happy. You're miserable, you're lying in prison with these iron shackles. He'll help you get gold shackles. Then you'll be happy. The Krishna consciousness movement is helping people get out of this material prison. It doesn't matter that I'm in prison with a high paying job and a PhD, and I'm in prison. Now, prison's not so bad as long as my wife is with me. It's prison. So Krishna consciousness is meant for getting out of prison by reviving our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. So Arjuna, as a soft-hearted devotee of the Lord, is considering, if this war goes on, then this system will be damaged or destroyed, and the society will become aimless. Chaotic. Well, this is the symptom of a person eligible for receiving spiritual knowledge. He's not simply thinking, okay, let's kill them all and enjoy the kingdom. In modern demons, any modern or non-modern demons think that way. And how many people do we have to kill to get it? 100,000, and we can afford it. But a soft-hearted devotee like Arjuna is thinking that if I fight this war, what will be the consequences? And he's an eligible person to receive spiritual instruction, as we'll find beginning in the second chapter. Okay, what kind of questions might we have today? We have a clipboard full of questions. It is. When you go to a funeral, what do you do to come to a Hare Krishna service? I'm not sure I understand the question. You mean after you've been to a funeral and you're thinking of coming to the temple? What do you do in between? Or how do you make the funeral spiritual? What? I don't think I understand the question. Someone like to clarify this question? Yes. Okay, that was the first thought. And you've been to a funeral, what do you do to purify yourself so that you're eligible to come to the Hare Krishna temple or the...
When you go to a funeral, that's one part.
Yeah.
Then what you have to do before you come here, your personal reason and all that sort of...
What do you do before you come here? You've been to the funeral, now what, so that you're eligible to come back to the temple?
You come back to the temple.
Yeah, chant Hare Krishna. That's the most important thing. There may be various rituals that are performed according to smarta principles, according to this and that. The most important thing is to chant Hare Krishna. Two things: take bath and chant Hare Krishna. Sufficient. External cleanliness, soap and water. Internal cleanliness, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bhaya Shuchi. Then you're clean inside and out. Even if you don't take the bath, you chant Hare Krishna, you're still clean. But just to keep a good standard, one bath and lots of mantras. One mantra. Actually, one bath and one mantra, but chant the mantra a lot. The more you chant, the better. Is that okay? We make it simple. There's so many rituals, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do that, and four drops of water over your left shoulder, and then chant this mantra, and spin around three times. The Narada Pancharatra said that the essence of all rituals, mantras, and understanding is compressed into these eight words. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. Everything's out. Is it offensive when entering the temple to not bow down to Srila Prabhupada and the deities? And Shastra said that when we visit the temple of the Lord, then we should bow down. I think there's a very elaborate protocol in England. If you meet the Queen, there's somebody in charge of telling you, actually, first you do this, and then you do this, and you address her as ma'am, and you wait for her to say something to you, you don't say something to her. There are these rules, because she's the Queen, after all, and you're a commoner, or even if you're a lord, you're not the Queen. So there are all these rules which show proper respect to the sovereign. So there are some rules also for showing respect to the Lord. They're mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion, where Sri Rupa Goswami has collected them from different shastras. And one rule is that one should bow down before the form of the Lord, before the deity of the Lord. That's good for us. And Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param Tasmad Padataram Devi Tadiyanam Samar. The best of all worship is worship of Vishnu. And better than that is worship of the devotee of the Lord. So in our temples, generally, the seat is there, Srila Prabhupada's form is there. And if we offer our respects to Srila Prabhupada, that's better than worshipping the Lord. To show, they probably used to quote, love me, love my dog. You walk down the street, you meet a man, you say, oh, nice dog, you have. And then it becomes very happy. Yes, it's very good. So Krishna appreciates it more when we show our respect for his devotees than when we honor him personally. So this is the Vedic system when entering the temple to offer pranams, tandavas to the Lord. One time, early, one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, because already it was customary to offer dandavas before Prabhupada, the spiritual master. And one early disciple asked, this is really early, Swamiji, if I don't feel anything, should I still offer obeisances? I would say, yes. Why? Because it's training. I may feel or not feel, but I'm trained how to offer respect. If I'm brought before the queen and I say, well, I don't really feel anything today. No, it's my, I have to respect the queen's training. How to respect the elders, Deva Dvija Guru Pragya Pujana. And austerity of the body and the mode of goodness, Krishna says, is to learn how to offer respect to the Lord, the Brahmins, the bona fide spiritual master, senior persons like the mother. This is duty. Again, now it's no longer a duty. Hey, Dad, nice to see you. Gotta go. Maharaj Yudhisthira, on the other hand, he would rise early in the morning and perform his spiritual activities. He would offer respects to the elderly people, to his mother, to his uncle, Dhritarashtra, to his aunt, Gandhari, to his uncle, Vidura, to the senior persons. That's the duty. Even before fighting, before he began fighting at Kurukshetra, first he went and offered respects to his grandfather, to his teacher. It's just my duty. It may be that they're on the other side and we're going to fight to the death, but first my duty is to offer my respects. Then my duty is to die. That, because the training was there from the early age that I have to offer respects to the senior persons, to the Lord. Well, that's the, in family life, that's the duty. How to train the children from the early age. How to respect the Lord. How to respect the devotees. How to respect the senior persons. How to respect the teacher. All of these things are to be taught as culture in family life, so that when the children grow up, they know, yes, coming to the temple, I have to offer my respects to Krishna, I have to bow down, and I should offer something. Doesn't matter if some few coins or some agarbatti or some rice, but I shouldn't go empty-handed, I should offer something. All of these practices we can learn from the nectar of devotion and teach our family members, teach others, teach them the devotees. In the heavenly planets, does death occur at the end of the 16th yuga, the fourth Kali Yuga, when total devastations take place? Or is it the same as in the material world, as in every day? Well, let's see how we can sort this out. First thing is, the heavenly planets are part of the material world. There are heavenly planets, there are middle planets, there are lower planets, three worlds, and they're all material. The heavenly planets, not only does death occur, but the heavenly planets are finally destroyed. Now let's get the schedule here. In the Bhagavad Gita, we find this discussed in the 8th chapter. Sahasri Yuga Paryantam Yadavur Ramanokudu. There's 1,000 ages which are considered to be one day of Brahma. But the end of that day of Brahma, then everything from the earth on down is destroyed. It's all destroyed. Then, again, so the night falls, everything's finished. Then the day comes and it's all re-established. That's lower planets, middle planets. Then the upper planetary systems last to the end of the life of Brahma, seems to me. Yes. Then there's devastation. Then everything is finished. That's just a question of time. It's just a question of time. First of all, it's not that the heavenly planet people get to stay there for the whole duration of the heavenly planets, just as this planet will go on for thousands and thousands of years, but we're not going to live for thousands and millions of years. We'll rotate. So the heavenly planets also, they stay for some time. Kshine punye marchaloka vishanti. They stay until their pious credit is used up. Everybody gets, who's up there, has some pious credit, which they're burning off. No one earns pious credit in the heavenly kingdom. They use it up. Just like you're working and you're building up your capital, and then you go on vacation to Paris or Rome or wherever you want to go. And while you're there, you're staying in a hotel and you're spending money in the restaurant every day. You're using up your capital. You're not earning anything out there. And finally, when your capital is down, back to work. This is how things go with the residents of the heavenly planet. By virtue of their past pious activities, they enjoy and enjoy and enjoy, and then they sink. And they're back down here. When were they starting from? Gatagatam kama kama lavante. Coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. Unless they go down, that's also possible, further down from here. Hope that answers that. How does one acquire the taste for chanting? By avoiding 10 offenses. There's a list of 10 offenses to be avoided while chanting the holy name of the Lord. To blaspheme the devotees who dedicated their lives to chanting the holy name of the Lord. To minimize the importance of the Vedic literature, the literature in pursuance of the Vedic version, to disobey the orders of the bona fide spiritual master, to think that the glories of chanting Hare Krishna are exaggerated, to give some concocted explanation for the chanting that we made in the world, to think that chanting Hare Krishna is one of the ritualistic activities, ordinary ritualistic activities, pious activities recommended in the Vedas. To think that the chanting of the names of Krishna is on the same level as chanting Durga, Durga, Shiva, Shiva, Ganesh, Ganesh, any other names. To commit sinful activities, to think, well, I may be doing something that's not exactly right, but I'll chant Hare Krishna and I will cancel it out, so it's okay. That's sinful. That's an offense. Trying to use Krishna as our vehicle for getting away with murder. to describe the glories of the Holy Name to the faithless persons, to maintain material attachments while chanting Hare Krishna, to be inattentive while chanting. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that this is like the mother of all the other offenses, to be inattentive while chanting. The practice of chanting is to chant and concentrate on the sound Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare. By carefully avoiding these 10 offenses and regularly chanting the Holy Name, one will get a taste certain from chanting Hare Krishna. By association with devotees, we will make progress in avoiding these 10 offenses. How does one develop the transcendental vision of seeing the material world and dealing with its complexities? By chanting Hare Krishna. And hearing from Srimad
Bhagavad Gita.
And by acting in devotional service. By acting in Krishna consciousness, I'll see that this is Krishna's property. By acting for sense gratification, I'll think, well, here's something that I can enjoy. Prabhupada gives the example of the materialist sees a flower, thinks, I could offer this to my girlfriend. The devotee sees a flower, thinks, I could offer this to Krishna. So by acting in Krishna consciousness, under good guidance, by chanting Hare Krishna, by associating with devotees of Krishna, one develops this vision, this spiritual vision. In this day of life, how does brahmacharya life apply for female devotees in that age group? Yes, the female devotees should be chaste, as the male devotees should be chaste. They should observe restraint. So the young girls also should be chaste. The modern education encourages just the opposite. The modern values. When I was just not too long after I joined, one of my godbrothers wanted to get married with one of my god sisters. She was a schoolgirl. He was also a young man. And Srila Prabhupada approved also. But the girl's mother said, no, she's too young. She should have experience of getting to know many boys, and then she can get married. Prabhupada said, just see, the mother wants the daughter to become a prostitute. And the mother becomes proud. My daughter's very popular. Any high school boy can tell you what popular means. So the young girls should be, as the young boys, should be reserved to self-control. The young girls should be chaste. That will be good for their happiness, not to be exploited by tricky guys. They should be chaste. We were discussing the other day. Someone pointed out to me a magazine article. It seems that in some of the best colleges in America, Princeton and Harvard and so on, there's now a backlash movement. For so many years, the idea is that girls should be free and girls should be loose, free and loose, really. And the pressure is there, you know. You some sort of like prude or something. I mean, what's with you? You're not, you know, open and free and loose and at my disposal. And it seems that at least a section of the intelligent, educated American girls have figured out the trick. And they're now part of a backlash movement that says, we're sick and tired of being used by you guys. We're pro-chastity. We're not your playthings anymore. You guys just use us and throw us away and try and trick us into thinking that we're being free and da-da-da-da. How stupid do you think we are? So they've taken, and not because they're religious, it's not like a Christian thing or a Hindu thing, it's smart. They just woke it up and said, forget it, Charlie, we're not going to explain this way. If you're interested in me, marry me. I'm setting the rules, and these are the rules. You're interested in me, marry me, take responsibility for me. Otherwise, get lost, you drink. So the young girls can memorize these two mantras, Hare Krishna and get lost, you drink. And they should be always engaged in the service of Krishna. And they can spread Krishna consciousness to others. Just as Prahlad Maharaj, as a student, was making the whole school Krishna conscious, the young girls can spread Krishna consciousness. And that will be very good. You know that story about the young man who wanted to seduce some young girl. And she said, yeah, all right, but give me a few days, and here's my name, and soon. So the man was very happy. He'd been after her for a long time, I mean, this is what I told her. Then for the next week, she took laxatives and purgatives and passed loose stool and vomit and everything she ate. And kept all that good stuff in pots. Then, a week later, when the guy showed up, he saw this shriveled hag sitting at the gate and said, you know, I've got a date. I've got an appointment with this beautiful girl. She said, I'm not a beautiful girl. He said, no way. She said, yes, here's your name. I'm that beautiful girl, but I've separated my beauty for you. So then she led him into the beauty room. He got some realizations. You don't have to be that bad. But give them Krishna consciousness. In the Grihastha Ashram, how do a Krishna conscious husband and wife take the Vanaprastha Ashram? Do they have to separate from each other, leave home? Or they can remain household. Can they remain householders and serve Krishna? There are different systems that one can follow for for accepting the Vanaprastha ashram according to one's own discretion or guidance of experienced persons. You don't have to separate. You may, but you don't have to. The wife may stay at home and the husband may go out to practice, to holy places. That's one system of household life. Or the husband and wife together may go traveling to different holy places. That way they develop detachment from the home, the business, the routine. They become purified, they become more wrapped up with Krishna consciousness by visiting different temples and different holy places. That's another system. Or they may go to some holy place together and stay. It's like Vrindavan life. No sex life. But together they may serve in some holy place. Or the husband may go off traveling and then come back after some time. See how things are going on. Okay, go out again. Come back again, go out again. And one day he just never comes back. The guiding principle is that in the beginning of householder life, one is building things up. He's getting together some money, he's getting a job, he's starting a business, he's buying an apartment or building a house. And, okay, they're starting a family and moving up. Then householder life for some time, but vanaprastha life means winding things down. Now, material nature is already winding things down for us. The body starts to dwindle, hair starts to turn color, or maybe starts to disappear. The power of the senses diminishes, appetite diminishes, patience for staying. Working and working and working diminishes. Everything, taste for that diminishes. It's not so exciting anymore to buy new curtains for the house. So, by nature's own way, the body is winding down. But the materialistic person is trying to deny that and keep going. I read in one article, I didn't talk about that. Yeah, you know, there's that Viagra to try to keep things going when they're not going to go anywhere. And I happened to be reading one medical article about the various alternatives to Viagra. You know, all the unhappy things that people do to try to keep virility when virility is on its way out. So, fighting against material nature. But the cultured person sees, well, you know, it's a lost cause, the body is dwindling. But there's a spiritual duty for me. That when I was strong and powerful, senses were strong, so it was really my duty to get married. Now it's my duty to wind down that attachment. So vanaprastha life means as we build up our material life, now to wind it down. So one hands over the business to the sons. I have one godbrother in Canada. I was visiting him over the years, and he was saying, now I'm getting my son and daughter into the business. Now I'm handing over most of the work to my son and daughter. Now I just go in once a week. Now I don't go anymore. No, because you're not going to stay there sitting behind the desk forever. One day the desk is leaving or not. So better to systematically hand things over. They'll catch on what they have to do or not. we have to go. So, pulling out. And now, alright, I've done whatever I could do in family life. So now let me wind down. Vanaprastha life means it may not be just leave everything at once, that's sannyas. And I may leave everything and then Tuesday come back and say, well, I made a mistake. So after so many years of attachment, we'll leave. So therefore this intermediate ashram is there. Loosening attachment, pulling out of the entanglements that naturally accumulate over so many years of family life. Handing over the stuff, handing over the duties, and going on actually to happier life. This is not the ultimate happiness in life, to have a house and a bright looking kitchen and curtains and household paraphernalia and be sitting there with our grand. That's not the real thing. Real happiness in life is to be engaged in the service of Krishna. And there's still time. I'm not dead yet. Soon enough I will be. But before that point comes, I still have some life. Just Prabhupada, look what he did in 10 years. Look what Prabhupada accomplished in 10 years. He also didn't wait till the last 10 years. First he left householder life, he stayed in Vrindavan, he was writing his books, he was doing his bhajan, and he went out and traveled all over the world and made such a glorious contribution. Someone could have said, yes, but no, what about his family? You know, his family was a few people. And now we're all part of Prabhupada's family. Prabhupada said, I have a few children. And now I have so many children. So Vanaprastha life means winding down our material affairs and becoming detached from that and becoming more and more engaged in the service of Krishna. And there are different ways we can do that. And that's happiness. It's not now life is over and we're admitting defeat and we're going off to the forest. It's a new life. Is there any exchange of karma by hugging someone or being hugged? As aspiring devotees, should we be cautious about whom we hug? Yeah. Especially the brahmacharis, you should be very careful.
Excuse me?
Should you stop hugging people on book distribution? Right. This is your method, right? You hug them and then give them a book, right? The more people you have, the better. There's some lady who goes around hugging everybody, but she doesn't give them any books. What's the use? You're better. You give them books. We get a big hug and we feel some happiness. But you give them a hug and they get transcendental knowledge in the form of this valuable religion. So you're really giving them something. When they hug you, then they become free from hugging mine. Please tell us about your association with Sri Prabhupada. The main association was finding my service. It wasn't that I was hanging out with Sri Prabhupada all the time, but I actually had a lot of physical association. Something over the years. The main association was my service. My main work was in the book publishing department. Still my work is in the book publishing department. So I always felt that by working in that department, probably also improved. By working in that department, we were actually associated with the problem. One time, when ISKCON Press was in Boston, Srila Prabhupada was in San Francisco, which at that time was the big place where there was Ratha Yatra, the only place where there was really Ratha Yatra in America. So the press manager developed this idea that we would all jump in a van, move across America. You can do it in 3 days. Jump in the van, go to San Francisco, opposite side of the country, attend the Ratha Yatra with Srila Prabhupada, jump in the van, and go back. And Srila Prabhupada was asked about it, or heard about it, and said, what do they want to do that for? They should do their service. It's not that we would have better association with Srila Prabhupada. We're speeding across the country, chanting and dancing for a few hours, and then listening to a lecture and speeding back. The real association was by staying where we were and performing our prescribed duty for Srila Prabhupada's satisfaction. So that was the real association. Still that association is available. You're serving, you're distributing books. So you're associating with Srila Prabhupada's service. Same benefit. Okay, should we stop here? Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.